I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is where I tell you to start dialing, especially this time of year. The phones get busy. So if you have a gardening question for Doug, it is 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. And then that magical number, 412-922-1020. If you're the 10th caller, you win a $25 gift certificate to Sorgles. Eric Countryman will be here. It's all about plant and tree health. Davey Tree Talking Tree in about 30 minutes. And I could tell it was you when you pulled into the parking lot because you had a flashlight. What is going on?
Man, what a storm, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still without power. I'm in Ross. And we were not there when the storm rolled through. I was at our friend Steve Rapaski's house. He's the guy from Bee Control and Meadow Suite Apiaries. And we had a great time there. Lamb roast.
Nice.
And a little bit of fishing.
There you go.
So that was a lot of fun. And as always, whenever I go to visit anyone, they always say, don't look at the garden. Don't look at the garden. That's what Steve's dad was telling me. But of course,
you look at the garden.
It looked great.
Did it?
It looked absolutely wonderful. So I hope that storm left you safe, but we sure needed the rain, you know. When I pulled up to my property, they had
police tape
all around it. Don't tell anybody, but
I won't.
I got through.
3,000 Duquesne Light customers, 10,000 West Penn Power. I was just talking to Rob Taylor, so hopefully the lights will get on. But yeah, it was kind of strange. You know, the other night we had one of those perfect storms where you had the heat lightning, the wind kicked up, it cooled off, and just a slight drizzle that didn't last very long. But we could use a torrential downpour. You want people to keep power, but Mother Earth needs some water, does it not?
Yeah, and this rain, I mean, we'll take anything we can get, but it's not the best, you know. I could see that a lot of it, you know, it just came down quick and ran off. But hey, we'll take what we can get. You know, I want to talk a little bit about what I talked about last week. I got lots of responses about talking about the sorrow for the loss of my late neighbor's garden. You know, if you ever miss a show, you can always go online and listen later. And so I've got all that information at DougOster.com. But lots of people could relate to, you know, when you're done with your garden or the neighbor is done with their garden, all of a sudden the next people just, they move on to the next thing. And that made me think of my Rose of Sharon tree, because I've got lots of Rose of Sharons. And I actually brought them from my old garden 25 years ago. And lots of people hate Rose of Sharon because it makes babies like crazy. And but I just love it, you know. And I tell this story every once in a while. When my kids were growing up, we had a Rose of Sharon right by the basketball hoop. And that poor Rose of Sharon took a beating being by that basketball hoop. And when I moved, I wanted to take a little seedling from that same plant, that, because it was a big tree. Probably maxed out at 18 feet. And I took a little seedling and I brought it with me and a couple other trees too. And now it's, you know, this really beautiful tree. And of course, right now in full bloom, I don't care about the babies. I can take care of that. But there is a variety, one that I've fallen in love with, called Sugar Tip, that is what they call sterile. So when it throws its seeds, it doesn't pop up. And it's a really beautiful little tree, getting probably only to about maybe 10 feet. And it got variegated white and green foliage and beautiful double pink flowers. It's just a really nice Rose of Sharon. So one of my friends told me once when he's talking about rose and Sharon, he just said, I just don't like it because it blooms when everything else isn't blooming. And I said, well, that's the reason I love it, is because it is blooming when most things aren't. And I'm getting lots of questions about something called blossom end rot on tomatoes. And this is most prevalent with container tomatoes and with like sauce tomatoes, plum tomatoes. The bottom of the tomato turns black, but it could happen to any tomato. And I probably talked about it last week too, but I've been getting so many questions about it. This is a watering issue. And so when things dry out and you get a deluge like we had yesterday and then dry out again, the plant can't uptake the calcium it needs. This is a calcium deficiency, but the calcium's there. The calcium's in the soil. It's just without water, it can't get up to the tomato. And so the only thing you need to do to prevent blossom end rot is to keep the soil evenly moist. That's a challenge with containers when it's this hot and it had been this dry. So, you know, when we talk about watering and mulching, those are two very important things for tomatoes. And peppers can get blossom end rot too, but tomatoes are more prone to it. And so keep that soil evenly moist if possible for those tomatoes. And, you know, when things cool off a little bit, keep fertilizing too, especially containers. That's something that I keep doing and making sure that those containers get what they need. And staking. In this week's In the Garden, brought to you by Davey Tree, my television show for CBS Streaming, I have my... brought out my golf club stakes because I planted peas, and I talked about this last week. You know, I've never planted peas this early, but I want to see how they do. I mean, I know they love cool weather, but we'll see if they mature at the right time or if it's too early. But you can watch the show at DougOster.com, and I've got a really cool hack there for strawberry pots. If you've ever planted in strawberry pots and you're watering it and it's just pouring out those holes, I've got a cool little thing you can do to fix that up and show you how to water it. Also, I'm looking through the progress of the garden. And then on that show, Rob Kruljack from Davey shows us how to manage our home woodlands. And he helps me with a little pruning job. That's all at DougOster.com. And only a couple seats left, believe it or not, for this upcoming trip to Portugal in April. People seem very interested in Portugal. 13-day trip. We go through the entire country, two trips out to the Azores Islands. Sort of there, those islands are sort of a cross between Hawaii and Ireland. Madeira Flower Festival, Terra Nostra Botanical Park, Portuguese Riviera, tea and pineapple plantations, Madeira Botanical Garden. But there's lots of other things besides gardening. I would say this one's probably a half and half. We'll explore all these towns and islands. Great price point, too, nowadays for, you know, travel and gas is expensive, so it's a great price. And all those details also are at DougOster.com.
So we have Eric Countryman here in just a little bit, so this is a very important topic.
Oh, he's got a lot of stuff. We talked about this Friday with each other before we set things up for the show. But, yeah, he's got a lot of interesting information about some new diseases that have come out and what we can be doing to keep our trees healthy. This is an important time for them, that's for sure.
All right, so if you have a question for Doug, you need to give us a call, 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. And again, we are ready to take your calls at 866-391-1020. So on the other side of the break, we'll get to your calls, and we'll get going with this edition of The Organic Gardener. He, of course, Doug Oster, DougOster.com. Jam Fest, presented by UPMC and UPMC Health Plan, is back this year and taking place on August 6th at the North Park Basketball Court, supporting Folds of Honor. This 3-on-3 basketball tournament is open to all sexes, grades 3 through 12, plus an adult division. Register your team now at kdkradio.com. Your call's next for Doug Oster, the Organic Gardener, part of Rob Pratt Sunday, KDKA 100.1 FM, AM 1020. Only because you have your Rolling Stones hat on today, Mick and company, Ronnie, and, of course, Keith in Paris, back in Paris tomorrow night. Man, they're just steamrolling through Europe, are they not?
I think it was last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, but they're going to be back again tomorrow night,
cool.
Too.
Yeah, I have not seen the show yet, so I'd like to go through and kind of look on YouTube and see what they're doing, if they play something special or whatever. But, yeah, looking good, man. They're playing good.
They are. All right.
I don't know about looking good, but playing good.
Listen. We all hope to look as good as some of them when we reach that age, do we not? All right, Mary, you're on KDK. How are you? Mary? All right, no Mary. Let's say hi to the other Mary. Hi, Mary.
This is Marion.
Oh, Marion. Okay,
oh,
go
no,
ahead.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if it was me.
No, it has Mary on the screen, so that's why I called you Mary. Go ahead.
No, that's fine.
Marion, we do it every time, don't we?
Sorry, I saw. I'm waiting for the real Mary to start talking instead of me. Anyhow, I was wondering, Doug, do you know what might cause borage, which was started from seed in a garden, to be looking healthy, ready to flower, and then all of a sudden just kind of overnight wilt and die?
What's the watering like?
This is a friend. I had given them seeds, so that's why I feel kind of bad. So they planted them 2 years in a row, and they have a market garden, so I know they water.
Okay, so they know what they're doing. I don't know, Marion. I'm going to have to research that one, because borage in general, as long as it's out in full sun, with decent water and decent soil, is almost indestructible. So I wonder if... the only thing I'm thinking is maybe if they have voles, you know, because voles would get to the roots, or sometimes an ant hill will get to the roots underneath.
Okay.
I would want to know what was underneath in the soil, but I'll look it up in the break and see if I can find anything specific about borage to make it wilt. And you say it's like kind of happening overnight?
Yeah, well, I don't know the circumstances last year, but this year it happened. Last week we had that really bad storm, like Wednesday night, Thursday, and all the lightning and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it was looking good the one day, and then after that storm, the next day this happened. So,
Well, let me look, poke around a little bit, see what I can figure out, and then we'll talk about it when Eric comes on from Davey.
If you have a question for Doug, now would be a good time to call. We have some lines available, 866-391-1020. Nick, you're on the Organic Gardener with Doug Oster on KDKA. How are you?
Good. Hey, Doug, I'm starting to get some tomatoes, and the ones that I'm picking got spots all over them, like white spots.
Sounds like a fungal issue, like anthracnose. Without seeing a picture, I can't tell you for sure. But go online, look up tomato diseases, and see what matches what you're seeing there. A lot of times, little dots on the fruit of the tomato is something called anthracnose, and it has been quite a year for fungal issues on tomatoes. Even though we haven't had that much rain, the rain that we've had has been later in the evening and sticking around. And so that would be my guess. If you wanted to send me a picture, you could do that at DougOster.com, and I'd know for sure. But take a look at some of the fungal diseases that tomatoes get and see if you can match it up with that. Have you cut one open?
Yeah, I don't know whether to eat it. I don't know whether they were safe to eat or not. I didn't know whether it was a stink bug. What's a stink bug?
Yeah, that could be it, too. You know, a lot of times something like that, a stink bug or a tomato fruit worm could cause those. I just need to see it to be able to diagnose it. But like I said, I poke around online and see what happens. That's what I would cut it open, see if there's anything in there. You know, I would be tempted not to eat it if it was a stink bug damage, just because what they're doing there is they're sucking it out and then putting it back in, and sounds disgusting. So take a look around or send me a picture, and we'll figure things out, okay?
All righty.
Thank you.
866-391-1020.
Yeah, so I'm trying a new deer repellent. I posted something online about Davy Tree, and the guy who supplies Davy Tree with their deer repellent, it's called Deer Pro. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll give it a try. Well, it came, and I threw it in the back seat of my car, and it's in the stuff itself is in a plastic bottle, which is in a box, a sealed box. And I left it in my car for a couple days. I think I know this stuff's going to work, because I cannot get the smell out of my car. I've had the windows open for days on end sitting in the garage hoping that I can get rid of the smell of this stuff. So I'm interested to see how that's working. I'm going to still use my Bob-X, and then I use a new one that I got from Sorgles called Deer Mace, but I'm going to add Deer Pro to the mix. And when you are talking about deer issues. And that's what, you know, when I was talking to Steve's dad yesterday, you know, that's the first thing that came to our mind were the deer problems. And by mixing things up with the different types of repellents, it'll work better. So I'll give you a report on the Deer Pro once I get it into a sprayer and we put it on there. Also, I gave away a lot of perpetual spinach seeds. I started last year at the Home and Garden Show, and I'm getting lots of reports from people. You know, they don't remember what it is. They say, like, I can't believe the spinach you gave us. It bolts, you know, in May, but this stuff keeps going, and it's got this great texture. Perpetual spinach is actually a Swiss chard. It's an heirloom version of Swiss chard, but has more of a texture of spinach. So that's why it's something that I wanted to give away, that I wanted people to give it a try to. And from the reports I'm getting, people are loving it. So who knows? Maybe I'll give away some more seeds. But that's something to look for. That's something you could plant right now. You know, Swiss chard is a great plant that will take hot and cold, and you plant some now, it'll go all the way into the winter. It's a great plant, and beautiful colors too. You can grow one called Bright Lights that has yellow and pink and red, and it's an easy to grow spinach substitute, basically, is how it works. And then lots of questions about chewing caterpillars, sawfly larvae on roses and hibiscus. If you look at your roses or your perennial hibiscus, and you see it starting to become like lots of little ragged holes working its way from the bottom to the top, that's usually sawfly larvae. And the organic treatment for that is something called Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. And that's something we talk a lot about here, because it's the active ingredient is something called spinosad. And how spinosad works is the pest has to ingest it. It's only good for chewing insects. You know, when we talk about dealing with pests and diseases organically, we have to specifically target these problems and let the rest of the cycle of nature do its thing. And so in this case, we're putting a product onto the plant that we know that this issue, what the issue is. Identifying the issue is first. I can't tell you how many times that I've tried to answer questions where people are using the wrong product for the wrong pest. And so anything that chews, let's say Japanese beetles, cabbage worms, the sawfly larvae, anything that's chewing your plants, when you put this Captain Jack's on there, they eat the leaf that the Captain Jack's on. It affects their nervous system. They stop feeding, and then they're done. But it does not negatively affect the good bugs. It's not dangerous for us. You know, there's no chemical. It's a biological control that only the affects the insect, and so therefore it doesn't harm what's underneath the soil. If it gets washed away on a big storm like yesterday, it's not going to affect anybody who lives downstream. So it's really important to know what you're treating your plants for and with. You know, with that one question there about tomatoes, possibility of stink bugs. Stink bugs are one of the hardest ones to deal with, just because they're not a chewing insect. They're a sucking insect. And so, you know, the only way we were able to deal with stink bugs when they went crazy was just to trap them with a pheromone trap. Luckily, nature has found a way for those to to be taken care of. We're hoping the same thing happens for spotted lanternfly. You know, it's another thing I'm getting lots of people sending me pictures of spotted lanternfly nymphs, and then something called leaf-footed bug nymphs. And so the spotted lanternfly nymphs are pretty easy to identify. They're red with white dots, and then the leaf-footed bug is more of an orange long plant. Long orange body. I got that out good, Rob, huh? I'm a pro.
It's okay.
It's early in the morning.
Absolutely.
Anyway, with those nymphs, like a spotted lanternfly nymph or the leaf-footed bug nymphs, any of these little things like that that are crawling all over your plants, and usually when they hatch out, there's like a ton of them, just gently brush them off into a jar of soapy water, and that will take care of things for you. The other issue I've been seeing out there is the manifestation of early blight and septoria leaf spot on tomatoes. This is when we start to see it. Basically, what happens is in the spring, And when we get those cold temperatures, we've got the tomatoes in there, May 20th, whatever it might be. It rains hard overnight, and those leaves stay wet. The fungal spores that are in the soil, they're always in the soil. They splash up. They get on that foliage. And then eventually, if the leaf stays wet for 24 hours or longer, work their way into the plant system, and now we start to see it. So if you're getting tomatoes that on the bottom, they're starting to look yellow with brown spots, remove that infected foliage. You can treat with an organic fungicide. This is a disease that won't kill the plants, but usually just slows it down.
We'll come back. Your calls and Eric Countryman, Davy Tree, Talking Tree, moments away, KDKA.
We are joined by Eric Countryman from the Davy Tree Expert Company. Good morning, Eric. How are you?
Pretty good, Doug. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Talking about plant health care, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear plant health care as relates to our trees?
Plant health care, you know, regarding, with trees specifically, is really the overall health and well-being of the plant. So we talk about the sort of the physical health of the tree, the from, you know, structural damage or from winds, but we can also talk about things like fertilization needs, water, especially right now. Water has been the biggest health trouble we've seen this year.
With a storm like that that came through yesterday, from your standpoint as having to deal with these properties, is this like, another terrible storm. I'm going to be so busy when I go back on Monday. It's going to be crazy.
It doesn't seem to be at the moment, but yes, there definitely was some tree damage that I heard about and have seen. But it was, you know, pretty quick the way that it blew through. And so probably in spots in certain neighborhoods probably got hit a little worse. But right now with the way, because the trees are so dry, they are pretty brittle. And so a good, you know, strong wind like that can snap things pretty easily.
And then how does a rain event like that, a quick one like that, affect trees? I'm sure it's got to be a positive in the fact that you're getting some water on there, but, you know, certainly a lot of it's running off because it's coming so quickly.
Yeah, it's probably a net neutral in terms of water. Frankly, the ground is so hydrophobic, so it's not absorbing any water when it's hitting it. And, you know, your tree roots are usually about, you know, 8 to 10 inches or so, especially the feeder roots, the ones that are really absorbing water in that top layer, top few inches there. And so if it's not getting time to penetrate through the top layer or the hard soil there, it's not going to, the trees aren't really going to be able to get to it.
So back to plant health care, we talked a little bit on Friday. What was the disease that you had heard about that was something brand new?
Yeah, there's a new disease, and research is still, you know, gathering up on this. And I know different states and different university systems are researching it, but it's called beech leaf disease. It seems to be caused actually by a organism called a nematode in the soil, and it infects the trees and it causes a lot of foliar damage to beech trees of any and all age and any and all health situations. So it's very new, but we are seeing it here and there. Definitely if it's something you're seeing a lot of discoloration and distortion on your beech leaves, you should probably call an arborist and have them get a look at it, because we're still trying to figure out exactly what we can do about it.
And what are some other things on your mind when we talk about plant health care, about trying to get the most out of our trees?
I would say really the, beyond specific diseases and specific insect problems here and there, I think it really comes down to proper fertilization for trees for health care. I've always kind of related back to people. A good diet goes a long way to helping improve your health. And I think that, keeping your trees well fertilized is one of the best things you could do, and easiest things you can do to keep all the other problems at bay.
And when is the best time to do that?
It depends what kind of fertilizer you're using, but you definitely would want to use something very slow release. And a lot of times the spring is the best time, but if it's a real slow release, the timing doesn't really matter. But if it's a real quick fertilizer, then you really don't want to put it on in the heat of the summer, but it definitely should be done in the early parts of spring or in the later parts of fall.
Talk a little bit about that. I don't know what it's called, but there's a special tool that you use, right, to do a liquid fertilizations?
Yeah, so we typically suspend fertilizer, like a powder-based fertilizer in water using a tank, a larger couple hundred gallon agitated tank so that it keeps it all stirred up and suspended. And then we, using pressure, high pressure, we have an injection gun that's about 4 feet long, and you have a stamp plate on the bottom of it, and you stick the probe in the ground and release the water and fertilizer under pressure, which actually helps to aerate the soil a little as well. So you're kind of getting a twofer there with fertilizing and aeration. But that's the better method to deliver fertilizer for trees, is you actually have to get it down below the surface layer, because again, that's where the roots are.
How would you characterize the season in general for trees? Is the hot, dry thing the most prevalent issue that you think about when you think about trees? Or are there some other things, too, that you've seen that have been especially problematic this season?
I do think it's the hot, dry that's been the most problematic. Mm-hmm. When trees are, when it's this hot, when we're not helping them with adding extra water, they are then more prone to disease or insect outbreaks. We see a lot of the sort of sucking insects come out, the scale insects. They love this sort of this time when the trees are really under stress from the heat. But the other thing that we've noticed, and it's been it's been out in the news, is the spotted lanternfly. That's a new, not newish, but definitely invasive bug that's been working its way across Pennsylvania for the last few years, and it's definitely here now. I think this summer is when I've seen it the most in residential neighborhoods and inside the city neighborhoods where we hadn't seen much of it before.
When we talk about watering, and a lot of people aren't going to consider watering right now after what happened last night, but is there a certain pecking order as to when you look at a property, when you think, where should I use my water? I've got 4 acres of 50-year-old oak trees. They're not getting water, but my pecking order is anything that was planted within the last 2 years, that better have water on it. Am I thinking about this the right way or not?
I would agree there, because your younger plants or the ones you've just put in, their root systems aren't as developed. They aren't as full. You're talking about your 4 acres of oaks. That root systems on those trees go, 1.5 times how tall the tree is. And so they're substantial. And when it does rain, they'll be able to gather up as much as it can. But if it's a tree you put in 2 years ago, its root system maybe is just starting to kind of move out of the root ball there and into the rest of the soil, and you need to help it out a lot more. It just doesn't have the built-in infrastructure to withstand these drought times.
All right, Eric, hang in there. We're going to keep you over during the break. Come back. Maybe some people have tree questions. But for more information about Davey Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davey.com/KDKA. And remember, you can always call the experts from Davey Tree. And an arborist like Eric will come out for free. Give them a call at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733.
So if you have a tree question for Eric and Doug, you can call us now. Our lines are available, 866-391-1020. More of the organic gardener, Doug Oster, DougOster.com, in moments on KDKA. Before we get some calls with Eric Countryman from Davey Trees, Doug has this.
Yeah, for Marianne's borage question, I looked it up. I couldn't find much except keep borage deadheaded, which I don't do, and that I see that it wilts sometimes just when it's really dry, when it's really hot. So that's the only thing I can come up with that. So we got some tree questions, Rob?
Yes, we do. Let's start off with Ivan. He has a evergreen question. Good morning. Welcome to KDKA.
Hi. Good morning, Rob. Good morning, Doug. Thanks for taking my call. My question has to do with the best way to treat and fertilize, just keeping healthy. Two things that I have that share the same bed of soil, but which I think might not be compatible together. And they are evergreens, actually yew bushes, the nice round green yew bushes. They are established. They're at least 40 years old. But around in the same bed with the yew bushes, I have English ivy growing. And I really, really need to try to help both the yew bushes and the English ivy flourish and stay lush. And I'm just, I've heard or read, I think, that the two, yews, the yew bushes and the English ivy aren't really compatible in the same soil because they each require two different soil conditions.
What do you think, Eric?
Well, I know I see a lot of yews and English ivy together all the time, so I'm not too sure. I mean, if you're different soil conditions, I think probably under ideal circumstances, but both seem to grow pretty well in our Pennsylvania soil here. So the biggest thing probably is that the yews, which have a deep and large root system, would easily steal water from the through the ivy. Or if we're getting to surface water like this, the ivy is going to grab the water before it soaks down enough for the yew. So I think really that it's a good annual slow release fertilizer for both things would work, even at the same time would probably work quite well, but it's going to be the amount and of water that they're getting and the depth of watering, how deep that water is able to penetrate in your bed area.
All right. Let's say hi to Jim. You're on KDKA. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have a couple ash trees that have come either from seed or root from I used to have an ash tree there that the borers designated and cut. Now these two little trees are about 8-10 feet, inch and a half, maybe inch at the base. Do I need to treat, is the ash borer still here?
What do you think, Eric? We've been hearing a lot about ash trees sprouting from the roots.
Yes. The ash borer is still here. And so they are still susceptible and they do go after saplings. So yes, if it's an important, for you to keep, then treatment will be necessary. And you should probably do it pretty soon because active adults should be emerging or already right about now.
And Eric, are you seeing a lot of that? Are you seeing a lot of where the ash tree had been cut and then this resprouting happening?
If the stump's not ground out or if roots are still showing and they do overseed. So if it had just recently that you took it down, I mean, these could be, seed sproutings. But yeah, it's very common with ash trees, not so with other species, but ash does sprout from its old stump and roots pretty easily.
All right, Frank, last call for Eric on the tree questions. Here is Frank in Wexford about a birch tree. You're on KDK. Hi, Frank.
Morning. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I have a question on my birch tree. It's a white birch. I want to know when is a good time to trim some branches off of it and how do I seed it?
What do you think, Eric?
Well, birches can generally be pruned about any time, but doing it right now when they're under such stress could really evaporate too much, so I would wait maybe till it's gotten much cooler in the fall or even if they go dormant in the winter. And then in terms of seeding, I recommend an injection soil injection route of an annual slow release fertilizer. That seems to be the best way to feed all trees, frankly, but definitely your birches.
Any more questions? All right, Eric, well, I certainly appreciate your time. Anything else that you've seen disease-wise that we should be worried about this time of the year that might be prolific?
Yes, I mean, they're definitely, because of the dryness, an activity with the insects that's kind of exploded. Lots of aphid problems and scale, like I said, the kind of sucking insects. So mm-hmm. something to be on the lookout for. They can cause a lot of damage pretty quickly. So it's not a bad idea to take a walk through your garden and take a look up at the tree sometimes to make sure that everything's looking pretty normal.
All right, Eric, thanks again. Remember, for more information about Davey Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davey.com/KDKA. Remember, you can always call the experts from Davey Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733. And I get lots of messages from people who tell me when the certified arborists from Davey come out there, they are so happy that those guys came out to let them know.
All right, Doug, always a pleasure. Hopefully your power will be back on when you get home.
Well, I'm going fishing, so I would think in another 8 hours it'll probably be ready. I will answer your questions later on today at DougOster.com. Check out my new video there along with some information about my new trip. And remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, have a great day, Doug. Enjoy your week. 8 o'clock news just moments away, and then the Coons Cooking Hour at KDKA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.